Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave. Here we are. It's March 22nd, 2012. That's pretty cool, 3/22/12. I love all those even numbers. Oh, I don't know where I am at exactly today, and this is going to be an interesting show in more ways than one, because first of all, I think it might be a really cool idea because of my guest and because this gentleman has been with me time and time again. I thought maybe it would be really cool to just get into it, get folks calling up, get folks to make requests, talk about the many things happening in this individual's life, and then get into some new tracks on the show that you might not have heard before. And let me introduce this person that I allude to, shall we? Because he's right here. I noticed that he had called me twice on the phone line that I'm using for the show, but that's okay. I'll just tease him about that incessantly for the duration of the show. He is a composer, a producer, a musician, a minister, creative director for the Youngstown Jazz Fest, and, shall I say, social activist extraordinaire and CEO. I'm talking about Sound Doctrine's own Jerry B. Baby!
Hey, sis, what's going on?
How are you? I noticed that you called me.
I thought I was sending a text because I was sitting here in queue, and usually you and I dialogue prior to showtime, and I was wondering, okay, you know, Trish hasn't said anything, so I just wanted to know that I'm here waiting, my sister from another mister.
That is true. I think that somewhere along the line, parentage didn't tell us something.
Somebody didn't divulge all of the info. That's for sure.
Well, let me tell you something, Jerry B. I'm getting closer to that information all the time because this lineage scenario is looking mighty interesting more and more every week.
So am I, and I'm old enough to ask questions like, look, what happened?
Right.
You know,
no.
When we were kids, you know, you just like you just shut up and sat there. But now it's like, hey, wait a minute, what happened? I want to know.
Well, honestly, there was so much secrecy in my family that I guess people didn't assume that I was ever going to ask any questions. I didn't ask any questions about why we had matzah in the house or why we would go to the Jewish bakery to pick up hamantash on the way to my Nana Huffmeyer's house.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know until later on, much later on, that my great-grandmother was Ava Shainstein from the Ashkenazi Jewish tribe.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Wow.
And then we don't even talk about what happened when Kin came over from Baden-Baden, Germany, and landed in North Philadelphia, where there was an African-American population. Holla!
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. You got too much soul. I knew it. I knew it. Honestly.
Well,
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
No, you know what? I'm wanting to hear you speak a little louder because you're really low to me.
Oh, am I? Okay,
yes.
I hope this is better. I was just going to say that I did not find out until very late in life. As a matter of fact, after my grandfather's passing, where my grandmother was talking about our history, and you know, my real last name, of course, Jerry B is the you know, branding. But my real last name is, you know, I'm not carrying my true lineage. I'm carrying his stepfather's name because his stepfather adopted him when he was 2 years old. And,
oh.
It's thing. So it's like, wow, you know, all this time you go through life and you spend some 30-something years and this is your family, these are your roots, and this is your background, but it's not your bloodline. So that was a real interesting point. transition in my life. I haven't done the whole trail yet, you know, and that's something that I'm looking to do. Maybe when I turn 50 and kind of slow down a little bit. But I'm gonna do it because, you know, I mean, I asked enough questions to get us down to at least the state where that branch of the family is from. And we'll see what happens because it's really been interesting. I had no idea until just a few years ago.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, once you get into it, it's really wild, you know?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. It's so fascinating. And yet, you know, part of it is that you get mad because you wish that you had known all those years.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as you can celebrate all of who you are, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, definitely. And identity, you know, I'm a firm believer in knowing who you are, not just, you know, biologically, but spiritually as well, and what you've been gifted and what your destiny and purpose is here. So, you know, it didn't throw a monkey wrench into, you know, who I was spiritually. But, you know, I mean, you get married and you have children and you want to pass on, you know, are there traditions, are there customs, are there things that we need to know about our ancestry to, you know, help plot our future, so to speak? Are there generational blessings that we need to grab hold of? Are there generational curses that we need to get rid of? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of, you know, so my wife and I, you know, we talked about it, and praise God, we are who we are. And, you know, our children will get our spiritual heritage until Dad digs in a little deeper to the biological one. What an interesting way to start the show, huh?
Yeah. How about that? And it started by you suggesting that we were more than kindred spirits. There might be a physical connection. And I'll tell you what, Jerry, there might be.
Hey, you never know. Honestly, you never know. Genealogy being what it is, you know, I wouldn't put it past my father, that's for sure. So, you know, Papa was a Rolling Stone. What are you doing? What do you say, right?
Well, and that's, gosh, kind of funny in a way, because my father, even when he reached his older years, and now I say older years, and they don't seem to be such older years, because
right,
he just passed away, I mean, 1979, he passed away at the age of 72, but he had a way of carrying himself. He was very much affected by the priests that he knew growing up to be Catholic. He carried himself like a priest. Matter of fact, people used to ask him if he was.
Hmm.
And then number two, people would say to him, because they knew he had five girls, they would say, "Any boys?" And he would say, "Not yet." He was a card. You uncover some stuff about your parents. And you do that digging, Jerry, because I know you well enough to know that once you do that digging, you are going to be flipping out. But it's going to be all good because you know who you are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, I was digging the fact that you said that you were going to be playing some new music on the show today. Man, I was, anticipating, even yesterday, you know, when we talked, and I thought, wow, you know, this is going to be great because I'm always into new stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Well, here's the deal. This show is going to be interesting in that you have until what time with me today?
We're going to do like 2:20. I'll go and get my girls from school, and then we'll come back at 3 o'clock and do the 3 o'clock hour with you.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, what we can do is this, since you're going to be hanging with me for a while, because I have music laid out, and I am perfectly willing and even encouraging folks who are in the chat room, who are listening, or who want to call. The number is 323-843-6172, 323-843-6172, to say hello to you, and to also request an artist that they may have heard on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. But yes, here's the deal. Jerry, I've got all these folks lined up, ready to go. There's three particular artists that I definitely want you to hear today. So the mix of the programming may change.
Okay.
And before we get into the first one, and it might be a little surprise for you to hear this first one.
All right.
Tell me what is going on with you, because you need to fill me in on a couple of things.
Wow. Wow. Where do you want to start? Let's start with Sound Doctrine, I guess. You know, January 12th, we celebrated 10 years. I think you knew that.
Oh, my God. That's so crazy.
Yeah, 10 years. January 12th, 2002 was our very first gig at the Northeastern Ohio Gospel Music Awards, given by a young lady named Michelle Stevenson here in our area, and we were at the Holiday Inn Metroplex. And Cliff Barnes, Feel the Beat, Jamie Harrod, and myself got up on stage and played Steel Feel and Yo-Yo for the very first time. The album Perseverance didn't come out until May. And, in fact, to celebrate that, at the end of May this year, we are releasing a remix called Perseverance 10.0. And it's a take on the original album. We're using a lot of the source material, but gone in, and there was a lot of singing on that first debut. And, gotten with most of the people who were part of that project and really kind of funked it up a little bit. There were some changes, of course, that we wanted to make and, you know, liven some things up. We have some live versions coming out, versions from, you know, when we were on stage. And just it's going to be a big, huge virtual album, and that's going to be released online at the end of May.
Wow.
So that's something that's, man, I'm really excited about it. Maybe I don't sound excited because there's a little exhaustion, in the production process, but, you know, just getting with all of the people who 10 years ago, and some of them have gone on to do other things. Some people have sent in their tracks online because they were not able to travel back into Youngstown. I mean, it's just been like, you know, it's going to be a great project. We won't press any CDs. It'll only be available, you know, online, but it will be a remembrance of 10 years ago when we just had that dream to say, what if we just stepped out on, you know, and started walking underwater? What would happen? And, you know, if you look back 10 years ago, you say, wow, you know, look at what God has done. I mean, you know, there's one part of you that says, well, I haven't attained this. I'm still looking to do this. This is still a goal of mine. But, you know, I have no regrets because of the musicians that I've been blessed to be able to partner with and perform with, the other artists who are national and international artists that I've been able to meet and perform with or open for, people like Trish Hennessy and others who saw something in Sound Doctrine music. I mean that wholeheartedly. You know, my nose is already brown enough, so I don't have to play any games. I mean, people like Bob Davis from Soul Patrol, Kevin Amos, and others who say, there's something about, you know, this Sound Doctrine music, and we're going to put it on our air internationally. Chris Mann and Lord Litter from Germany, always playing our stuff. Andre Carter. I can go on and on and on, but I don't want to miss anyone. But people have been very good to Sound Doctrine over the last 10 years, and I'm grateful. So this is going to be a very fun project. I mean, we've taken some of the songs and just twisted them and bent them till you can hardly, know what they are from the original. But that's been cool because there's, you know, that's the essence of who we are. We really do like to experiment. Also, Trish, we have apps available. I didn't know if you knew that, but we have apps for iPhone.
Okay. I wasn't hearing it clearly. I thought the first thing I thought that you said was apps, ACTS. Okay, apps, APPS.
APPS. Yeah. So if you have an iPhone, iPad, iPod, whatever you have, mobile, through Bander, BANDER, Bander.com, you can go and search Sound Doctrine, and you can download our app for your iPhone, or if you have the Android. That app is available right from our website, sounddoctrine.com. It'll take you to Reverb Nation, and you can just download the Sound Doctrine app so you can take us with you wherever you go. So that's really great.
Look at you. You are just technologically so savvy. My goodness, brother.
So the marketing never stops. I mean, marketing is a 24/7 gig, you know, and there's always, you really, you know, I think that we're playing catch up because, you know, the technology is moving so incredibly fast that you just have to make sure that you are where the people are, you know.
Yeah.
With respect to our website, for those who are joining you for the first time, although I can't imagine you have a large core audience, but those who are joining for the first time and you haven't been to SoundDoctor.com, become a subscriber to Sound Doctor. And I just checked on the website to make sure that what I was saying was absolutely on point. And my goodness, we're giving away so many downloads this month for becoming subscribers. Incredible. One whole album, Sound Doctor Live and Friends, is a free download, the entire CD. Yeah, absolutely. And then significant downloads from all three albums, too, Endurance, Inspire, and the first one, Perseverance. So just go, sign up, put your email address in, and just let the downloading begin. So we're doing that until the end of the month. So go get it.
Wow. Good God, that and I know that you've got other things, and I'm gonna make sure, because one of the big scenarios for you this year is the Youngstown Jazz Fest, and I'll hold off on that so I can play a request right now and play the song, one of the songs I wanted you to hear, because this CD just came out yesterday.
Ooh. Oh no, I know who it is. I think I do. I'm up on my game to know. Is it ES? Are those the initials?
That's correct.
Hey, there you go. Yeah,
Esperanza Spalding. Well, yeah. You know about Black Gold, and we need to make sure that folks are aware of this because of this particular stage in our American society. I know a lot of people on Facebook have put the face of Tavon Martin on their timeline,
yes.
And Esperanza, of course, wasn't a soothsayer, but she made it a point that when she placed Black Gold on this CD, she wanted this to be a tribute to young black men.
Yeah.
And now the song has more significance than ever.
Absolutely.
But I wanted to not, you know, not get overwhelmed, and I wanted to make sure I adhere to what folks were request. Listen to me. Oh, my God, I had a rough night last night. usually I don't go out on a weeknight, but I did last night. And now I've got a second cup of coffee. But Griselda in Texas wanted to hear this song, Jerry B., and I thought maybe it would probably be the first time you heard it. It's called Radio Song.
Yeah, yeah.
From Radio Music Society.
Exactly.
So we're going to do it.
Bring it on.
Now, it's okay by you that we're going to play a couple of songs, and then I'll get back to you, okay?
Bring it on. Love it.
And then you can text me on my cell phone. All right. Jerry B. is with me, and Esperanza Spalding is actually in your ear. This is something brand new as of yesterday. Radio Music Society is the name of the CD and radio song for Griselda right here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Right now, Spirit,
as you hear
the words are speaking to you.
And
Jerry B. How did you like that?
Absolutely.
You know what? That is so awesome because when you know these artists in a certain capacity when you're coming up, and then you are able to meet them or converse with them in an entirely new capacity later on, it's so cool. And what am I talking about, Trish? That was Greg Adams, who did trumpet and arranged for Tower of Power for more than 25 years.
Oh, yeah,
is right. My God, this album, East Bay Soul 2.0, is the latest from him. And I'm telling you what, we're going to have him on the show soon. Got to work things out with management and you know that's going to be a hot show because, Jerry, the whole album is like that.
Wow. Well, who best to bring it from the 70s? I mean, come on. Tower of Power, forget about it, you know?
Yeah. Man, you loved them, too, when you were coming up, right?
Loved them. Ate them for breakfast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My uncle was a jaster. I mean, the Crusaders, Tower of Power, Wilton Felder, Bob James, I mean, I could go on and on and on, and that's what was playing at the breakfast table while I was eating my Cheerios, I'm telling you. And it was just
really?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nothing like the funk of a Tower of Power horn section. It's done. I mean, that type of power coming out of those speakers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was groovy right there. So Greg Adams, back at him. That's great. And what's the album called again?
The album is called, that track was called The Getaway, and it's from East Point Soul. Actually, East Point Soul came out in 2009. This new one is called East Bay Soul 2.0 or 2.0. But you can go to gregadamsmusic.com and find out more and get it. But what I wanted to make sure folks knew in playing that track was that for folks in this region, and even if you wanted to do a day trip, Greg is going to be in Maryland on Saturday. He is going to play at, La Plata, Maryland, the College of Southern Maryland, their annual jazz fest. He's going to be there Saturday. So honestly, Jerry, here's the plan. I'm going to go off to Berks tomorrow to see Jazz and Pink tomorrow night, come back, and I'm hoping to drive my little pimp mobile from Reading, PA to La Plata to see Greg. I'm not quite sure yet, but my gosh, to see that, when you go to his timeline on Facebook and see the lineup of folks he has with him, he is so smoking. This is like his second or third wind in his career.
Yeah, and he deserves it, and I'm glad to hear it because immediately you can hear the music coming back. I was going to say that it's changing. I mean, when you float from Esperanza to Greg, it was like, you know, I'm so happy that one season, and I won't bring it up because I know it's your hot button, but that one season in jazz is over, and we can get back to the real character of music. It's not the cookie cutter, you know, what I'm going to put there. Insert the descriptive phrase there, but real music is back, and you can hear it.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? I mean, we don't even want to talk about as much anymore, lamenting about people still staying in their boxes, because I don't know anybody that's staying in a box anymore. That's so cool.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, it was a great thing that the radio stations began killing that format. You know, I mean, it's a great thing because I think what it did was it allowed the musicians to go back and say, you know what, I don't have to have this tempo, I don't have to have these tones and this sound and that same synth patch. I actually can be free. And, you know, let's go. Let's see what happens because, man, that was some grooving music on both of those artists. Are absolutely Esmeralda. She kills me every time that she comes out because she's all about experimentation.
Yeah. And, how spunky is it? I mean, she was raised in some circumstances that would render most human beings, how shall I say this? her scenario was not one of luxury and wealth. And times were really lean for Mom and Esperanza, and she has a brother. She could have decided to go another route. She didn't have to have that character inside of her that knew that she could do anything she wanted to do because she was Esperanza Spalding. How cool is that?
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I just love her. And, you know, I sometimes when I listen to her, Jerry, I go, what the heck is that girl doing?
Exactly. And that's just, I don't know, I think, you know, I'm that walk on the wild side type musician. I think that's what an artist, I mean, I think that's what we try to convey. It's like, you know, you have your Monday through Friday, you have your punch the clock, and when you put the CD on or you know, get that download, it's supposed to be other. It's supposed to take you somewhere. It's supposed to, you know, raise the hair on the back of your neck, allow you to think, allow you to soar and to fly, and that's the type of music I'm into. So you're like rocking my world right now.
And yet, Jerry, it's so cool because on one end of the spectrum, you have all these folks, and isn't this show, Hybrid Jazz, particularly relevant these days?
Absolutely. It is. It is relevant. And I remember when you first presented the concept to me, and, you know, we were just in conversation, and you said, well, this is how I'm feeling it. It's not this, it's not that. You know, you spent 5 minutes telling me what it wasn't, and I thought, well, that's so cool because Trish is honing in on exactly what she feels, and you've been doing it every week, bam, 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 right off
the
bat.
God bless you. Well, I love you for that, and you were in on so many dreams early on, and you know what the big dream is. The big dream, of course, is for this particular kind of forum to be on terrestrial radio, because I'm not willing to give up on terrestrial radio. I really believe in it. There's a whole lot of shiggity on terrestrial radio right now, but all it takes is for one idea to come to fruition, and then you'll see a whole lot of clones. In this case, if there was a hybrid jazz scenario on the radio right now and it did well, wouldn't that be so wonderful to see in Ohio, in Philly, in L.A., in Atlanta, in Nashville, clones of scenarios so that a program director could actually immerse himself or herself in making sure that the local and regional folks were played as much as the national and international folks?
Absolutely. And I tell you what, when I first got started in radio 100 years ago, I'm telling you, I would go into the room, I would pick out my CDs, I would go make myself a cup of coffee, and it was going to be a great day because I know that I was going to be placing music into the ears of the listeners that they either were not exposed to, that they would, I know they would absolutely love this stuff, and I was I was able to program my own show. And then bought by a bigger chain, and that changed the game completely because, you know, I mean, I had to play the playlist. This is not what you feel. It, you know, you're a slave to the playlist, and that's it, and radio was no longer fun for me. But I'm telling you, those glory days, man, and that, you know, it was the DJ that broke the artist. The DJ was the one that got a burr in their claw and said, this is a hit. And I remember distinctly going to Detroit in the summers, and this is back in the late 70s when the tune by Rufus and Chaka Khan, Ain't Nobody, I'm telling you, the DJ played that thing about 8 times in a row. You know what I mean? And this was the era where it's just like, this is a hit, it's a hit, it's a hit. And you loved it. It was a great song. It was funky, but that DJ had the freedom to say, this is what's happening. So what's happening on online stations, as you say, I believe is going to bleed into terrestrial. But even if it doesn't, I think you've opened up a platform to where that freedom is there. You got your coffee. You're saying, this is what's happening. Check out Greg Adams. You know, check this music out and go with it. So, and you're doing your thing.
Well, you know what? It had to be done, Jerry, because you know the whole vibe of what I was feeling with smooth jazz. Well, actually, okay, I wasn't feeling it.
You said those 30 words.
I know. And usually I just say the S word because I don't want folks to think, oh, she's a smooth jazz host. No, baby. No, baby.
No, thank you.
No, there's so much that's happening that's rough. Sometimes I actually say to people, I like it rough, as opposed to smooth. But the interesting scenario, Jerry, is that you said this a couple of minutes ago. You were talking about or alluding to the energy and what Esperanza is doing and certainly what Greg is doing. And Greg has pretty much always done. He's always had that intense funk appeal, and he always has that trumpet that is creating this backbone for real music. And now this is the other side of that. The artist that I'm going to play for you next, what a breath of fresh air he is from the D.C. area. You might be acquainted with him. You might not be acquainted with him. But he has this CD that is just garnering such buzz ever since it came out. And he, because he's so prolific, actually a multi-award-winning bassist, he has been able to get the older songs, and he reveres what has been in the past. He used to scour his mom's record collection, Jazz and Soul, and he grew up, and I just heard him say this in the past 24 hours. He didn't think that he wanted to get involved with bass. He really got involved with the bass by accident because he was going after what he thought were guitar lessons.
Wow.
And what he saw, his eye gravitated. I guess it was a situation where you had to pick an instrument because that's what kids used to do back in the day when you had them in school, go and pick an instrument. So he gravitated to the bass, and he is a Thelonious Monk bass competition winner.
Oh, man.
So when the Institute, and I'm telling you, these are the folks, I just wanted to make sure I found out who was on that committee that decided that day that he was the winner, because that particular day, where is it? Oh, yeah. Charlie Hayden was on the board, Ron Carter, and Dave Holland, who were three of the coolest bass players in the world. And they heard Ben Williams, and they went crazy. So I bring his name up to say that what he did on State of Art, he was certainly doing some really creative things. But this stood out so much. He got a hold of Moonlight in Vermont. And this is what he did to it. So I want you to feast your ears on this, and then I'll play a little song after that, and we'll come back. Woohoo!
Absolutely. Great.
All right. We've got Jerry B. with us on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. And after these next couple of songs, we're going to say hello to folks who are in the chat room, and we're going to find out about the Youngstown Jazz Fest. Here we are, Ben Williams on the bass, Moonlight in Vermont. Thank you.
Saturday night, you check the TV guide. And pray the black and white can keep you satisfied. Well, she had a yellow hair. She had
Terry B., you have never heard Sound Doctrine's Marriage next to Lyle Lovett's Black and Blue before, have you?
No. But what a fit, huh?
Man, I thought, how cool would it be to put something funky next to something that you're not expecting to be funky next to?
That's what hybrid jazz is all about, right?
Exactly. Man, you know what? It's so cool, Jerry, because Linda and Albert Norwood II, who has just asked you to be friends on Facebook, and Griselda are in the chat room. And there is someone there that I don't know, Mo, and he or she will make themselves known. But
Mo Ray, probably, right?
I don't know, because it's I'm not going to say that the name, that the handle they use, but it's probably your friend, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure it's Mo.
Okay,
I'm sure.
Cool.
Because we were texting, and I said, yeah, Trish is cool. Feel free, jump in. He was one of those Clear Channel cronies at one time as well. So he can feel free jazz, you know what I'm saying?
Jerry, you said the name of the company that is used as the devil's tool.
Fortunately, but they, you know, willingly, they willingly yield themselves to the enemy. So
man,
we said it, yeah. You know, we are above it, so it's all good.
Yeah, gosh forbid if we should get into a conversation about the Illuminati. But anyway, Anyway, I'm glad to have you, Mo, and I am cool. You're welcome in the chat room anytime. Linda is calling from Malibu, California. She's actually in the chat room. She's not calling, but anyway, she is one of those gals who was truly blessed because not only did she have a chance to go to Hawaii over Christmas, but her beau asked her to marry him while they were there.
Oh, yeah.
So she was grooving to Sound Doctrine's Marriage a song ago, and she said, oh, I am so feeling this. And I said, well, baby, you are feeling this because the name of it is Marriage.
That's fantastic. Well, congratulations. And, Lori and I are coming up on 17 years on Easter Sunday, April 8th. So,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Marriage is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. I didn't want to use the word thing. Invention, proclamation from Almighty God, and I just, you know, I dug it. I found the right woman, and she found the right man, and here you go.
That's a beautiful thing. Well, look, thing just fits. That's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing. Marriage is a beautiful thing. It really is.
And, you know, it's not always that way, Jerry B.
But again, remember what I said. When you find the right one, you have to find the right person. I was in relationships obviously before Lori and I married, and you know, I spent 7 years with one and 7 years with the other. Although we did not, you know, go to the altar, that time revealed that this is not the right one. This is not bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And, you know, it may take a relationship or two to get to that. It's all good. You know, just make sure that once you've made that, you know, commitment and you say, wow, this is the one, there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be tests and trials and tribulations and temptations and all of these other things that come into fray. But once you found that right one and you know he or she is that right one for you, roll with it. It's all good. You can face anything.
And you know what? Maybe it has a lot to do with, well, you know, we're both strong believers in Jesus Christ, and that makes a difference. But, you know, as far as partnerships with somebody on this earthly plane, you and Lori are equally yoked, and that's important. And how do you define that expression, Jerry? You're the person to ask.
Well, you know, it's just like this. The way I wrote the song is the way I feel that marriages run. You have the saxophone, which was played by the dynamic Keith McKelly, first of all, and the saxophone represents the husband, and then Reagan Whiteside, who played the flute, represents the wife. So you have this dialogue going on between them, and then interweaving between those two instruments is the piano, which was played by Cliff Barnes. And that piano represents the Holy Spirit. I mean, in my opinion, it's all three elements at work and in dialogue. Does the husband and wife always agree? No, they don't always agree. They don't always have the same paradigm or perspective on whether how their marriage is run or how their home is run or how their kids are raised or how money is spent. Fill in the blank. But if you have that interweaving, if you notice from beginning to end, there's that interweaving of that piano. If you can take these disagreements to prayer, if you can dialogue with God as you're dialoguing with each other, then you have a solid marriage. So that's how the song was built, and that's how our marriage has been running from day one. In fact, even while we were dating, we used to meet daily for prayer at, if you know anything in Mowat, know where Wick Park is and on the north side of Youngstown, Ohio, we would just meet for lunch and we would just sit and we would talk about our future. We would talk about the type of home we wanted to live in, the type of children we wanted to raise in. And we didn't know whether they wanted to be boys or girls, obviously their gender at that point, but how we were going to run our home. And then we would just commit that to prayer. You know, she knew she was marrying this hardcore musician. She knew what she was getting into, and that she would have to share me with the road sometimes, share with my office. She was the one who, after the towers fell on 9/11, when I said, you know, I need to do this music full time, she was the one that agreed to stay in the workforce from 9 to 5 until I could get the dream off the ground. I mean, we knew what we were going into, and that is really what made and is making our marriage work, because God is working in us to do it, make it happen. Obviously, you pushed the button and put me up on the pulpit for a minute, but you know, I had to say it, because that truly is a dynamic. And when you're living in a society where you have the divorce rate is over 50%, is really very simple. First of all, are they the right one? B, can I make a commitment? And when I make a commitment, you know, no matter hell or high water, I'm in it, and we're going to win, and divorce is not an option for us. And that's just the way it is, because I'm a product of a broken home. My mother and father, they divorced when I was 2 years old. My wife, she's a product of a broken home. And so we saw that, and we didn't want our children to see it. And so what we decided to do was just, yo, shake and bake, let's go. No matter what the obstacle is, together you and I can do it. And that's what has led to a strong marriage. And there have been many people married, you know, 50 years. You know, we don't have the lock on the thing, but we look to those successful marriages, and we use those as models for how we respond and co-respond with each other.
And that's so mature. I mean, spiritually mature, which is the best maturity of all. And you didn't say this, but intrinsic to what you said is something that some of us have learned late in life, which is that you go into a marriage environment because it's a brand new environment. I mean, all of the things that you were doing as a person who was single, they're all going to be different now. So you have to view that person the way that God views that person. There has to be the mutual respect there, first of all. And you know, because if you are aware of human beings, there is no one human being that can fulfill all of your needs. And humans are built to disappoint. So if you know that going in, the view of marriage is going to be different. It's going to be, it's you and me together. How can we help each other along this journey, knowing that there's going to be pitfalls and disappointments? There's going to be joys and there's going to be sorrows both. You and I, going into this, know that we are not perfect people, but we're going to see each other the way God sees us, and we're going to try to help each other meet His goals for each of us. Is that fair?
That's what's up. Yeah, absolutely. You hit it hard.
Okay. Yeah. Jerry, it takes a couple of relationships to really understand what is supposed to be. Because, honestly, God created a marriage so that it is an oasis. We're living in some crazy arse times. And, you know, if a husband or a wife is coming home to a scenario that's as chaotic as the world outside their door, gosh, they're doomed.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. But you put the handle on it, and I think we're both saying the same thing, because if God is in it, you know, then home is your oasis. Home is your paradise. Home, when you leave the cruel, hard, you know, world, and you know, you're out there banging it out, trying to make a living, and when you come home and there's strife in the home, I mean, that's no peace. But when you can come home and you know that you have one other person on the planet who's on one accord with you, who feels you, who understands you, who forgives you. I mean, if you can walk in forgiveness with each other, because as you said before, it's not going to be perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. And, you know, we're going to mess up. We're gonna mess this thing up. But can we walk in forgiveness? Can we accept, you know, the apology of the other and forget about it and follow it away and say, you know what, that's just humanness. But our marriage, our commitment to each other is far more important. It far, you know, we are better together than we are apart, and let's just roll with it. Because you're going to have to say you're sorry 150 times a month, especially if you're married to a musician. I gotta, because I'm not thinking as a musician, I'm not thinking like everyone else is thinking. I'm always on another vibe, and I know the jazz musicians out there, especially because we're kind of twisted, twisted in a good way, but we're on another, so maybe I'll say some things, or maybe I'm in a particular zone, or I have a particular expression going on that, my wife doesn't understand. And that's just growing together and knowing, things happen, and when misunderstandings happen, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Yes, babe, I forgive you, and we move forward. Boom, and it's done. And that's the platform.
Well, and see, that's another thing in so many marriages. Those kinds of communication tools are not expressed at the beginning. They linger for whatever reason. You have married this person, and that means that you must be communicative, because it seems as though, especially wives, talk about their husbands badly to their girlfriends when they should be talking to their husbands about their husbands. That's number one. And sometimes those communications don't get expressed initially, and they are allowed to, and I'm going to use this word because that's what it is, fester until they explode.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And I would just alter one thing that you said. I agree with you and the girlfriends talking to their girlfriends about their husbands, and then the girlfriends talking to their husbands about their husbands. I would alter that just slightly and say when the wives talk to their husbands, they should talk to them about their hearts, because women, my experience, check it out. But women, my wife especially, she's a heart person, and she comes from her heart 90% of the time. I come from the head. I'm thinking logic. I'm thinking reason. I'm thinking, things need to add up. Things need to make sense. But she's talking about the heart. You know what I'm saying? And
yep,
so when
I
she
do.
Talks to me from the standpoint of her heart and how she feels, what she feels may not match what I see, but if I could hear her, then it makes that conversation much better. If she, in our marriage, if she talks to me about me, then I'm that, this is what I see, this is what makes sense, this is what is logical or illogical to me, and it doesn't, we don't match, but when she can say, baby doll, here's what I feel, here's what's happening, I know it doesn't make sense, or 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2 here, but hear my heart, boom, then she opens me up into a zone that I really need to be in for understanding to take place.
And isn't it a blessing to know that you have a partner that is not going to drain you with demands? You know where she is coming from, and she knows where you are coming from. There is an acceptance of each other's true personas that you feel comfortable, and you really do desire each other's company. So it's never a matter of, oh, God, is he in the house again? Or doesn't she have to go somewhere so I can have my alone time? All of that is taken into consideration when you've just described something. Let me rewind here because I'm trying to make up a point. I see couples that are easily frustrated by each other. And it's like they goad each other, then when the person turns around and says, "Why did you say that?" the other person explodes, and it's finger in your face time, and it's this latent anger. And gosh, there needs to be a way for people who are going to get married to have real practical advice, real sage advice from elders' advice before they even are permitted to get married about what it means to have this kind of commitment, because folks give up so easily. But as you said, Jerry, it's because they weren't with the right person.
Yeah, yeah. And even if they are with the right person, it definitely takes some work. I mean, you said something that really pushed the button with respect to time together. I mean, you know, there's time in a good marriage. There's time where you're together. You need to be together, obviously, as much as possible. But there are also times where you need to be alone and you need to find your space. You know what I mean? There are times when I want the house empty so I can turn the music up, like, really loud and just go for it. And my wife then, you know, she was raised almost like an only child, and I say that because her siblings were so much older than her that, you know, she just sometimes needs her space because when she grew up, it was just her and her mom. You know what I'm saying? And so there could be that issue of crowding where, you know, I've had a big family, lots of cousins, and we hug and whatnot. It's just understanding what that person needs for that moment and being respectful enough to be in a position to provide it and want to provide it and say, yo, you know. There are some times when it's just like, wow, you know, it's been really like 5 weeks where I haven't just like turned the CD player up and really just released it. And I kind of need that because that's who I am. That's still part of my DNA. And she respects it and understands it. That's a great time for her to go to the mall or wherever. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean? I do. And that's where the respect factor comes in, because apart from anything else, the respect gives birth to the respect absolutely means the friendship. And you have to have that respect, side trust, here's on the other side friendship, in order to have a relationship that will stay for a long time. So when you have that respect, because, all right, Jerry, I completely understand where you're coming from, and you need to have your space, that person knows that when, Lori in this case, when she comes back, you'll be refreshed and revived and ready to go and spend time with her.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's it. How did we get on this? It's just because of the young lady getting married, right? We're like Dr. Phil and Dr. Joyce Brothers. we've spent some time here on this great subject of marriage, you know?
Well, look, how much money did she save with all this counseling?
Archive the show, and anytime, you know, she's having an issue. What's her name again? What's the young lady's name?
It's Linda. Linda.
Linda, yeah, just archive that show, and yeah, come back and refer.
That's right. And, man, we really do have to start charging, Jerry B., because, honestly, if only I had taken your advice so long ago.
If I had taken my own advice longer, then I wouldn't have wasted, because my 20s are gone, you know what I mean? I should have known this earlier, or if I didn't know it, I did waste some time. So good advice is good advice no matter where it comes from. I wish I would have taken my own advice earlier.
Well, and here's the thing with that, and I know I have to let you go momentarily, and then you'll come back, but first of all, Maya Angelou had the best quote that is still thought of almost weekly in this house. When we know better, we do better.
That's right. That's right.
That's number one. And number two, honestly, you have had your head beaten against the wall by God, as I have. It's certainly not literally, but we have taken over the wheel of that automobile that is his to drive so many times that we need to be in a particular place where we have that moment that says, oh, that's what he meant.
Right. And maybe not literally for you, but I think I do still have some knots where he really did just bump me upside the head. Yeah, I was that type of son.
Look, there's not a whole lot of stuff he can get hold of with your head because you don't have any hair, so he had to get you by the neck.
That's it. Yeah, I took that thump and was like, okay, are you going to listen now? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, you got my attention. I'm listening, Dad.
Yes. Oh, man. You know it. We could have a whole another show just talking about that. Well, look,
absolutely.
I'm going to send you off because you got to pick up one daughter or two daughters.
I'm picking up my two youngest.
Okay, well, cool.
And we'll be back on at 3 o'clock, and I'll call you and text you and all of that stuff, and we'll get back on point.
That's awesome.
We got the Youngstown Jazz Fest to talk about. You know, we got the Youngstown Jazz Fest. We have other great musicians. I'm going to be, anticipating what you're about to play and the stuff that you're going to play in the 3 and the 4 o'clock hour. It's going to be a great show. There are going to be many more requests and many more people in the chat room, so we're just going to do this thing.
Well, now, last folks who are new to the show or listening, the show does end at 4 o'clock, so I'm going to save a couple of tunes for you that you need to hear because one of them is going to just thrill you. So be safe, pick up your daughters, and come back and report.
Absolutely.
Okay.
See you too.
Okay. Jerry B. from Sound Doctrine and so much more. Look, he's not even getting into what he does, but he oversees a company, and there are people on the roster of this company. He directs the media within the company as to how they can best serve the purposes for the company, and on top of that, produces and arranges and has thought about who is going to be at this Youngstown Jazz Fest, which Jerry will tell you about. And now, while we're making sure that he gets off the road or on the road safely to pick up his daughters, I got to figure out, since we diverted a little bit from our situation here, we'll go back to what I had intended for you to hear at the beginning of the show. And there's a reason why I'm going to play Miles Davis here, and I'll tell you about it after a few songs. Woohoo! Having so much fun, and we are going to get to a little birthday tribute in just a bit, too, because it's a very special birthday today and a few special ones on the way. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Miles Davis. I Fall in Love Too Easily. Thank you. my goodness, that song just speaks to me. I don't know about you, but woohoo. Gail Johnson was able to convey something in that song with her playing and her vocal there that was, if you have not experienced it in your lifetime, then you don't know what the hey I'm talking about. But it's just interesting that that particular track from her story, or her story, her story, as opposed to history, her story. It's just, You Still Care About Me is that the name of that track. And had a situation. I didn't want to really say it in front of Jerry B, because I know that he would understand, because he knows the party in question. Probably more than the party knows himself. But here I was in this scenario last night. Now, I went to a jam session. I was going to see my good friend Anita King. Haven't seen her since around Christmas time. And I was going to see Rita, who is the person who sort of handles the jam. All right, not sort of. She does handle the jam. So I haven't seen Rita since Christmas time either. But I know that when I go to this place, I will see someone who was not only a significant part of my life a few years ago, but my life. Much larger than I should have ever placed him. He became my God, my world, my everything. And I know that I'll see him. So what do you do when you go to a place like this where you know that you'll see somebody? And it's so weird that you don't really know what to say, so you wind up saying nothing. So what does moi do in those situations? I probably had a little too much wine. I'm okay, but I had a little too much wine because I was nervous. So if you hear something in me today, you're going, oh, what's different about it? But that song, You Still Care, it's always going to be like that. There's always going to be some element when you leave an ex. There's a reason why the person is an ex. But you also know in many instances that when you see him or her, you go, oh, jeez, what? Gosh darn it. You still have that, doggone it. And they look at you a certain way, and you look at them a certain way, and there's sometimes real anger involved. But even though there's anger, they still go, doggone it. So that was my story last night. And I had to play the song by Gail Johnson because Gail is at the helm of Jazz in Pink, and she's going to be at the Berks Jazz Fest this Friday night with an absolute plethora of multifaceted, multi-talented human beings that all have the same equipment. They're all female, and they're all fabulous. Gail Johnson on keyboard, and she is going to be with her sister in the music world, Althea Renee, who we heard just before Gail. And I love that song from No Restrictions, Never Given Up. Althea just had something transpire in her world in the past several days, and hopefully all is well now. But her brother Desi was in the hospital. So a multitude of people had said to her on Facebook, we're all praying. Well, Desi just got released from the hospital on Tuesday. Thank you, God. So Althea is happy, and she's ready to rock and roll on Friday night. And, of course, you probably, not of course, but you may have heard Cool Jazz Conversations last Monday when Althea and Gail and Darlene Moreno were on with Joy and I. And it was just a grand time. When you have that much enthusiasm in the house and you're really championing the cause for women in jazz, it's just a high, a real natural high to be able to share in the support, know that it's going to be better because you have supported, and just to be there. Frankly, I don't even care what happens. I'm going to probably come home on Saturday, but just to see Jazz and Pink with the lineup of folks that are there, ooh, go to Burke's jazzfest.com and see the lineup. Just to give you an example of who, Cindy Bradley is going to be there. Paula Atherton on sax. Woo! Can't wait to see her. Karen Briggs on violin. There are folks that I am not 100% familiar with, like Maria Antoinette, who just became a friend on Facebook. But I'm anxious to see what she's going to do. And guitars, keyboards, saxes, trumpets, all kinds of instruments, and that's the big high. We heard Miles Davis, too, and I know that I'm rambling, but you had to hear that story about last night. Miles Davis, I fall in love too easily from Columbia Records. They made a compilation of beautiful ballads and love songs, and that's what they called it, from Miles Davis, different times in his career with different personnel. That particular situation, just gorgeous. I fall in love too easily. Amazing how Miles just became what you would call, somebody said this, the, what was the quote? Let me look at the quote here. The Trip Your Lover's Trigger songs. Somebody actually wrote on Amazon when they were writing a review of this particular album that they didn't want to go on with their review because it was X-rated. But if you pick up this particular compilation of these beautiful songs that Miles and crew did, various crews, you are just going to feel so good about looking for love in all the right places, hopefully. It's just a real cool way to get an intro into jazz. And here's an aside. A few people on Facebook were saying the other day that now there's some completion in the plans for the new Miles Davis film starring, hopefully, Don Cheadle. There is no completion. There was a poster that was posted on Facebook that said summer 2012. It was a bogus poster for this reason. There is a gentleman who does outstanding work. What he does is he creates these different posters, not officially, but he draws or he creates artwork for what he wants to be. It's not saying that he's doing anything wrong. He's just creating the poster of what the dream would be. And everybody took this poster and they ran with it saying, oh, it's going to be out this summer. It's not going to be out this summer. The only thing that's firm about the Miles Davis film about his life is that Kevin Devane, who is an actor from Jamaica, is going to play the part of Marcus Miller. There is maybe a little bit of a question now about Don Cheadle portraying Miles Davis. We'll keep you posted for as much as we know, but that is what I know for sure. So there you go. And here we go. Oh, Lord. I need another cup of coffee. We're going to play a couple of tracks from for Jerry when he comes back, and I wanted to save a key piece, and I know that there's folks in our chat room who are really going to enjoy this particular track that I'm going to play, but I wanted to get a hold of somebody. I'm getting actually text messages. Could you please play the original in a sentimental mood, or what is perceived to be that song? And this is it, actually. Duke Ellington and John Coltrane, back in the day. I believe that let's see. Yeah, Duke Ellington was 63. John Coltrane was 36 when they made this record, Duke Ellington and John Coltrane. And this is In a Sentimental Mood on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Woohoo! Thank you. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. A pleasure to play the birthday baby today. George Benson turns 69. Wow, just love that song so much. You know, it was so cool to hear Jeffrey Osborne's slowed up version of that song and then hear Benson do it up tempo like he was experiencing this utter joy in his life. Oh, I just love it so much. George Benson. Here's a little something about George I just learned recently. I love this. When he was, 7 years old, he was playing the ukulele in front of drugstores in his native Pittsburgh. and he was getting a little change for it. The next year, at 8, he was playing guitar, not only playing guitar, but playing guitar in unlicensed nightclubs. At the age of 10, he made his first record. It was called She Makes Me Mad. He has been doing this for so long, it's like second nature to him. His guitar is a second skin, and certainly Love Ballad is not recent. Guitar Man is the most recent outing for George Benson, but I had to play something not only for his birthday, but to also draw attention. Geez, you'd think I was getting paid for this or something, but he's going to be at the Berks Jazz Fest. And that's going to be coming up Saturday night. So I'm still deciding whether I'm going to stay. I don't think that I will, but I know that Joy Hall will be watching George Benson. She'll be hoofing it to a few different places and enjoying the show. And we're trying to work on George from a couple of different angles, either for Cool Jazz Conversations or for Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. We'll see how that goes. We had a request via message on Facebook. I love it. Folks are getting real creative. Texting me or giving me a call. You probably heard the cell phone ring a little while ago, but folks are getting creative about their requests. But we played this the other day from the Christian Instrumentalists. And somebody wanted to hear that magnificent little song, Atmosphere, again. So, and then we just happen to have one of my new friends via Facebook, who is actually one half of the Christian Instrumentalists, and that would be the great Albert Norwood II. Thank you very much. So he's in the chat room with us, and it's really nice to know that he's in the chat room and somebody goes, oh, who were those guys? Oh, yeah, the Christian instrument. This is how the person put it. My little buddy in Hawaii who zips up from time to time and has to let me know what is really turning him on as far as the music is concerned on the show, and Atmosphere really got him where he lived the other day, so we had to play it again. Yay, Albert. And we started with Duke Ellington and John Coltrane. And merciful heavens, that song, it's just weird to me when I think about it, because it was recorded the 26th of September in 1962. 6 and 2 were inverted, then 1962, 2-6, 6-2. And then Duke Ellington was 63, and John was the inversion of that. He was 36. Something has to be said for numerology. I don't know what it is in this case, but the magic that they created with that album called Duke Ellington and John Coltrane was so vast, and the personnel, just amazing. Aaron Bell on bass, Elvin Jones on drums. Something that no one could possibly have foreseen. Duke liked to work with the up-and-coming jazz artists, and John was, certainly getting his wings and flying. And he said about the experience of working with the great Mr. Ellington, he said, I'm not at the level that Duke Ellington is at. I'm still working my way toward that. And of course, Duke Ellington thought quite differently, which is why he wanted to partner with John so much. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Not a long album, about 35 minutes or so, but every track was just a breath of fresh air and continues to be in a sentimental mood. Jerry B. is going to be back with us this hour, and we're going to be hearing about the Youngstown Jazz Fest. I know that he's working on doing so much this year, bless his heart, and somebody else that's working really hard to do what needs to be done, and doing something very exciting, going to his homeland. Matter of fact, he's in Costa Rica right now for a really special event, and I'll tell you about it after we hear the man in question. He's been on the show, not only Cool Jazz Conversations, but also Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. You've heard a few tracks. And I thought, hey, you know what? Since we played Esperanza Spalding, since yesterday was the launch of her new CD, let's play the track called Esperanza, which means hope. This is Luis Munoz from Invisible on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
Where am I? I think Calgon did take me away. Kirk Whalen right there from Romance Language. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's the Joe song. I want to know. We're going to get back to Kirk in just a minute. I have to tell you about the beautiful little song that we heard right before by the beautiful little person, Luis Munoz, who just tears up this CD, Invisible. Luis does many things, but what he does beautifully is orchestrate this well-oiled, passionate machine of musicians to translate what he envisions should be on a particular album. Invisible is a work of art, and you heard Esperanza. Now, Luis is going to be, actually, he's in Costa Rica, his native country. The International Arts Festival in Costa Rica is happening this weekend, and Luis is the big star of the show, so it's going to be a huge homecoming for him, and I'm just so tickled because he is such a lovely man, and he's getting a lot of love already. Now, apparently, via his Facebook reports, there has been a challenge or two to get to Costa Rica. I won't enumerate those challenges, but he's fine. He's happy as can be. And Jerry B is too, and I am happy because, yay, he's back, Jerry B!
Hey, just like clockwork, huh?
Yeah, that's fabulous. Did you like the Kirk Whalen song, Jerry?
Love Kirk Whalen. Whatever he plays, whatever he does it with such grace and perfection. It's hard not to like Kirk. I mean, ever since Sloppy Disk, do you remember his first CD?
Oh, my gosh. I think that you do better than I do.
Oh, man. It was produced by Bob James. This is back in 86. And just came out slamming, sounding like no other saxophone player that you've ever heard. Clearly it was a Bob James production. And, you know, so there was some orchestration and whatnot. But, man, Kirk style, you just knew that this guy was going to be a wizard. You knew it. And he's exceptional.
Yeah, he is in a multitude of ways. And we just got the word in the past 24 hours. I'm happy to say that after much backpedaling, going back two steps forward, three steps back, Kirk is going to be on Cool Jazz Conversations on April the 2nd.
Ooh, excellent.
Yes.
It's on me to call in on that show. Tell Joy to make some room for Jerry.
Okay. She will certainly do that. She will do that. Yeah. He's been a little busy guy. And Jerry, you'll like this. There is going to be the Preserve Jazz Fest happening in June in a suburb of Birmingham, Alabama. Our good friend Eric Essex, who I have a very bad crush on. Eric is a native of Birmingham, and he is putting this festival together. Kirk is going to be there.
Excellent.
So it's going to be not only Kirk, but Kevin, who's a big part of Romance Language as well. But it's just you and Eric Essex would love each other. Eric plays guitar like nobody's business, and there is a spirit in him that is so kind and so warm. You would absolutely love him, and somehow, some way, you guys are going to work together.
You know, I believe it, and Kirk too. Don't forget Kirk. Kirk and I have to work together. It's inevitable. I can remember, and you were there at the 2006 Capitol Jazz Fest.
Yes.
In fact, you don't remember meeting me there. I know you don't, because I was just such a little peon. And
but would you stop?
We performed as part of the Capitol Jazz Challenge, and Kirk Whalen was one of the judges for that. And I will never forget what he told me with respect to the name Sound Doctrine. And he just spoke into my life and really encouraged me. And I'll never forget him for that. And so I put it down that day. One day Kirk Whalen and I will be in the studio together producing magic.
There's no doubt in my mind, because I really feel like, for example, I'll tell you this. in these past several days, I have had these wonderful men come to my attention. A couple of those guys are the Chestnut Brothers, and we talked about them, right, from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
The music just got me so much, and it made me so homesick for Philly. And I found out a lot about the Chestnut Brothers via communication with Al. And then I got to know some of the work from the Christian instrumentalists who, and I played Atmosphere. I got a request via Facebook to play a song that I just played on Tuesday. And Albert is in the chat room. And I just am getting a sense, Jerry, that these Christian musicians are out there and we're forming this this circle. There's already a circle, but there's another inner circle that is coming together. People are coming forth, and through conversation, they're either saying, oh, by the way, I see what you say on your Facebook page. I believe that, too.
Right.
Isn't that cool?
Right. It's more than cool. It's absolutely excellent. And it's time for the kingdom, citizens of the kingdom to stand up.
Yeah, that's right.
Speaking of Facebook, you had said earlier in the show that there was a gentleman who was trying to befriend me on Facebook, and I'm here now looking to confirm, and I don't remember his name.
That's the gentleman I just told you about from the Christian Instrumentalist. That's Albert Norwood II.
Excellent. I will find him and confirm him while we're on the air.
That's fabulous. Fabulous! And before we do anything else, because we could go on for days talking about the spiritual awakenings of so many people and how it's important now that in March 2012 we need to stand up, you need to talk about the Youngstown Jazz Fest and what's happening.
Oh, wow. Youngstown Jazz Fest is coming on Saturday, July 7th at 5 o'clock. It kicks off. Right off the campus of Youngstown State University in a great lawn field area called Harrison Common. If those of you from Youngstown, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, you know Blossom Music Center. This is a mini Blossom, meaning that, you know, you come, you bring your lawn chairs, you bring your umbrellas, you bring your baskets and your lunch or your dinner and your cooler, and you just come and chill to some great, great, fabulous jazz music. It is a free event for the community, and that means whoever you are, those of you, because we love Baltimore. I mean, we're always in Baltimore just about every summer. So come on down from Baltimore, D.C., Virginia. Wherever you're listening to Trish, you have an open invitation to come out. Free event, family-friendly event. Everyone from age 8 to 80 years old will enjoy the show. We have special guests, Pieces of a Dream, this year.
Man.
So they're going to come and just rock it out. And we love them. We love Pieces so much. James Lloyd has settled into our area about 12 years ago. And, you know, this is just a dynamic opportunity for him to show love to Philly, his hometown, as well as his new hometown of Youngstown, Ohio. And we also have on the date will be Laura Bacho from Cleveland, Ohio. And if you're a Diana Krall fan, her stuff is just so elegant and smooth and
juicy. Oh, wow.
A wonderful, wonderful singer. We have the fiery Alton Merrill from Pittsburgh, PA. He's actually a professor at Duquesne University, has his master's in music, and will take you through every type of jazz that you want to hear in his set. I mean, he's absolutely dynamic. Then we have the Funkin' John Reese Project, and they do bring the funk to the stage, all kinds of great stuff. And Sound Doctrine is just going to make a small cameo appearance. We were there as headliners at the Jazz Fest last year, and we were going to kind of sit out, but we realized that we just cannot be so close to the funk and not play something. So we're going to... Yeah, there. But it's going to be a great time. You know, Pieces of a Dream, 30 years in the industry, proteges of Grover Washington Jr., doing it to death. And Mr. Dyson, you know, Dave Dyson on bass,
yeah.
He's coming from your area to come to our area and play bass with Pieces.
Get
so, yeah.
out of here, really?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh my gosh, that excites me so much because, oh, Jerry, when you spend time with David Dyson,
yeah.
it's going to be a whole new situation. Trust me.
Absolutely. Without fail, it's going to be fantastic. We're more than happy. We're still developing the website. You can go and see some videos, some interviews we did with James Lloyd of Pieces of a Dream at YoungstownJazzFest.com. And by April, we'll have up all of the artists that I mentioned to you, and we'll do a big splash. And, of course, Facebook will create the page for the invitation. And we want to see more people who are outside of the Youngstown to come to our community and just hang out and have a great time. It's going to be wonderful.
Oh, my gosh, that's so exciting. And, you know, your eldest daughter and I were trying to think of ways that we could meet during the summer. I think that we just found the answer right there.
That's right. Youngstown Jazz Fest. Come on down. Come on down. And I'm, you know, anytime I have an opportunity to see my my little head, JJ, she's in New Jersey, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I welcome that. I welcome it. So, yeah, that's my eldest. She's 29. Can you believe it? Oh, my God. I feel so old now.
Stop. I know she is, and she is just working her tiny little hiney off, doing all sorts of wonderful things to make her life exquisite. I really love that girl so much.
Yeah, yeah. She's going to be the future Angela Davis. I mean, she's such an activist, and she's so passionate about causes that, you know, that drive her and move her, and she's always calling, Dad, well, did you know, da-da-da, and I'm getting ready to go into the city, you know, meaning New York, and we're going to do this, that, and the other. I'm like, go for it, babe. Very passionate.
Oh, well, look, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, does it?
Nah, not at all. But, yeah, I tell you what. She's a much better kid, and I have to say this about all my daughters. I have three daughters, Jay, Mia, and Ayana, and, you know, all of them are probably much better children than I was, because I gave my mom a few ringers for her time. And so my girls are just absolutely outstanding, and I love them all. They're very well-disciplined, very passionate, very organic young ladies, so they make mom and I proud.
Oh, that's so wonderful to hear. And I waited for you until you came back so I could play this particular track because you said to me at the beginning of the show you were all a Twitter about some new releases now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, this one was released. What'd you say?
Bring them on.
Bring them on. This one is just so interesting because this guy is so talented, and so much expectation comes from this artist, and he will tolerate that to a certain point, but he is determined to do what he wants to do. And I mean Robert Glasper from Black Radio. That's the name of the CD. And this is Robert Glasper, pianist extraordinaire, who really thinks of himself as both a jazz and a hip-hop artist.
All right.
This is Robert's take on Kurt Cobain's Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Ooh, okay. I'm down with it.
All right, here we are on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
I remember her quite fondly. We'll be right back.
Gary B., is Robert Glasper a quirky fellow or what?
Dude, loving it. You know, that Kurt Cobain, you know, he did the same thing with that Herbie Hancock would have done with it. You know what I mean? That's the same type of vibe.
Wow. I didn't know where I was when I first heard this, and actually Black Radio, the name of the CD, the Robert Glasper Experiment, is so wild. You know, you talk about ticking off some of these purest jazz aficionados who expected Robert to follow in their footsteps. And he said, I don't think so.
That's right. Yeah, you know, it's the narrow road all the way. You got to cut your own path. And
you do.
Loving it, Robert. Loving it.
And that was saxist Casey Benjamin on the vocoder there, and bassist Derek Hodge and Chris Dave on drums. Just so folks are aware of this, besides the fact that Robert Glasper has this amazing reputation, his mom sang gospel and played piano, Jerry B.
Wow.
And he wanted to follow in her footsteps. Besides having the attention of a lot of people in the jazz world and a lot of people who aren't and really don't want to be in the jazz world because of the creativity he's shown, especially on this CD, he has also been the music director for the touring band of Mos Def, who was on the CD.
Wow. That's a resume right there.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And it's really interesting. He and Gretchen Parlato have worked together very closely, and Gretchen thinks the world of him. She was on Cool Jazz Conversations a month or so ago. And, you know, Gretchen has this incredible reputation, now enhanced by the fact that she's part of the package that won the Grammy, thanks to Terry Lynn Carrington, for the Mosaic Project.
That's right.
So Gretchen can't say enough about Robert, and she and he are cut from the same cloth, because Gretchen doesn't like to follow what the path has been. She and he and folks who are of this new generation are really stone cold into jazz, but they just hear it differently.
Yeah, and that's what jazz is all about. I mean, that's, wow. Well, you know, I know the show is going to close in a few, but I mean, when you talk about, you know, just the migration of jazz and just what it spills over into, you know, just when you think you have a handle on what's going on, you know, those guys who came and cut the cord into what we think is standards now was new to them, you know, Miles and Dizzy, and they created that bop sound, and people were going, where are these guys coming from? And that bop became standard. And then Miles, who was an architect of that, took it and changed it again. And so it is always evolving. And jazz is something that you cannot lasso. You cannot put it in a box and make it sit there and behave. It may tame down for a year or two, but other than that, somebody's always thinking, here's another way to cut it. And I wonder what Kurt Cobain and his, well, you know, obviously he's no longer with us, but that crew is thinking out in Seattle about what this young man did with their sound. I mean, come on. It's a whole fresh, new, fresh approach.
And honestly, if Kurt was still with us, I think that he would be involved in jazz. I really do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm trying to think of the song that Herbie did. He did a song from Kurt Cobain. It'll come to me in a second. But he really stripped it away, slowed it down, and just really polished it out, man. And I thought, man, you are really giving credit to this dude's his legacy of the music that was in him. Unfortunately, you know, he chose the path he did. But, you know, his legacy and what he has left for us, Herbie took that and twisted it, and now Robert is doing the same thing. Great stuff.
Well, Herbie just, he loves to honor folks who, again, the jazz critics or the jazz snobs would rather he not pay attention to, but Herbie knows the value of music. And look at what he was able to do at the Grammys a couple of years ago. Oh, my God! He brought so much attention to the genre of jazz because he didn't want to be so exclusive. He wanted other people to feel inclusive to jazz. And that's what happens when you have these visionaries. You bring more people in to enhance what you're doing.
That's right. That's right, because it's all open. I mean, once you, it's open. It's open. You're about to get me to preach again. I'm not going to do it. But seriously, you know, jazz music is just such an open vehicle. If you are a fan of original thought and expression, here's the ultimate platform. Because what can you tell me that I cannot do? I mean, you know, when you look at Stevie Wonder, avid fan of jazz, and a lot of the stuff that he did early on was just, I mean, that's how come him and Herbie Hancock are so close. Just, you listen to his courting, and you know that brother is steeped in jazz. Just, it's just in him. As a matter of fact, when you go back to Motown and all of the Funk Brothers, the musicians that they used on the sessions, jazz musicians. So,
that's right.
I mean, you know, it's an open door.
Yeah, and speaking of Stevie Wonder, we had played, when you were here the first time around, Ben Williams and Moonlight in Vermont. Wasn't that beautiful?
That was awesome.
Well,
awesome.
Jerry, Ben is doing, that's funny, I just said Jerry and then Ben and Jerry. Ben just posted on his Facebook page something that happened. Can you imagine this? At the Java Jazz Fest in Indonesia, this was just real recently, here's Ben Williams playing bass. Here's Frank McComb and George Duke on stage, and here comes Stevie Wonder for a jam.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that...
You have that recorded anywhere?
Actually, yes. It's on Ben Williams' page. Now, I think that he's got a fan page, I believe, and a friends page. But I think you can access on both pages because he's one of these folks who's pretty much full up as far as friends are concerned. But you can definitely have access to it. Yeah, Ben Williams. So here's the story. Now that we have like 15 minutes left, and I want to get to a third Sound Doctrine track, and I'm real specific about what I want because I just am so smitten with Meant to Be on Inspire.
Wow. Great tune.
Yeah.
Great tune.
And actually, I do want to make mention to folks who are listening to Jerry B. One of the tracks that I wanted to play, and I can't because of the length of it. I don't know if I've ever told you this, Jerry, but from Endurance, I just love soul songs so much. It's my heart.
Yeah, that's a beautiful Jim Coconelli tune. I mean, Jim brought that into us, and what could you do? Fantastic song. In fact, I'm going to send you his version. Jim has a totally different version of soul song that, I mean, with the exception of the melody and the theme in it, you know, he takes it a totally different place. So, yeah, that's a wonderful, wonderful ballad.
I just love that whole album so much. That was the one, everybody, that was right before Inspire, and I love Inspire so much. I mean, it's probably a little worn out at this point, but thank God for the laptop because now I recorded all the tunes in the laptop, so I have them, and as I go about my daily business, I get to hear. But we were talking about marriage before, and I thought we could end the show with that song because the show will end promptly at 4. We got to make sure we get our tails out. Tell me what you want to say as far as what Sound Doctrine is up to or anything else you want to say.
Well, again, just come to the website. Definitely take us with you. We are available on both the Android as well as the iPhone, so we can cover both worlds. Download the Sound Doctrine app, APP, to your smartphone. And also remember the Youngstown Jazz Fest, youngstownjazzfest.com, Saturday, July 7th. And come to our website at sounddoctrine.com. We're giving a lot of stuff away for free. In fact, I just gave Linda Busy a copy of Marriage because we were giving her marital advice earlier.
Oh!
So, just love blessing people. So come on and you know, subscribe, put your email address in, and there's a lot of great stuff to download. And if you want to purchase a download, our downloads are 79 cents. You go to iTunes or CD Baby or whomever, you'll get them for 99. But if you come to SoundDoctor.com, they're just 79 cents, so you can really load up on all the great music.
And how about folks on the roster? What's happening with different folks? You want to share any news about some special strides that some of your artists have been doing? Or I know that we've delved into a few names, but you go right ahead.
Oh, Philip K. Jones, Jen Kochenour. We're beginning work with a young man out of Tennessee. You've interviewed him, Stephen M. Lee.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just, you know, God has blessed us, and we're just doing our thing. Go to Niayana, NIAYANA.com, Sound Doctrine, SoundDoctrine.com, and Youngstown Jazz Fest, and you'll pretty much get the scoop on everything that's happening with us.
That's awesome. You're pretty busy, and I've just got to share this a little bit. Jerry B. was not feeling great just recently, and a lot of prayer came his way because his back was not good.
Not good. I was down for the count and facing surgery, but God is so great that he spared me from that, and we're back on track.
That is just...
I was trying to not use that in a pun, but...
Oh, right! Hey, well, it's better to be back on track than back in traction, okay?
Right. Right on your back in traction, absolutely. Yeah, well, thank you for that. I appreciate your prayers, I really do. And, you know, we put the word out. We didn't put it on Facebook or anything like that. I didn't do it in my blog, you know. But the people who knew were praying and grateful. And here we grow, G-R-O-W. And, Trish, I just want to say this. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Like I said before, from 2006, when we went down to the Capitol Jazz Fest, you've just been more than a friend to Sound Doctrine. You've really been an encouragement and a support. You've been a life giver. You've been someone that we knew that we can count on time and time and time, and then times again. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you to Carol. Thank you to our entire Baltimore connection, who just show us so much love every time we come down there. You are truly my sister, and I just give you all the tribute that I can. I love you so much. Thank you for being a friend.
I love you too, and believe me, I would love you anyway, but on top of that, you're just so bloody talented.
Well, you know, I don't even want to speak to that. Thank you very much. I love listening to people like you've played to me, because they inspire me, and hopefully they help me to gain the things that I don't know how to do yet. I'm grateful for that.
Well, look, there's a ways to go. 2012 is just so promising, and I wanted to make sure that folks knew who are listening in the chat room and who are going to be listening in the archive. We've had, I don't know if you've heard about this, Jerry, but well over 3,000 listeners now who have tuned into Hybrid Jazz since it started. So that's really a blessing, but not me, not the show. I want people to hear the another side of what Sound Doctrine is capable of doing. This is on Jerry B's Sound Doctrine CD, Inspire, and especially for Linda, we've got to play her this song too, Meant to Be, and then Jerry, you can talk about the two beautiful little souls who are singing the song after the song.
You got it.
Okay, here we go.
The first time I saw your face, my life wouldn't be the same. And now you're walking down the aisle. Oh girl, I live for your smile. Came and changed my life. Made to be my wife. You know we were meant to be.
You are the sweetest thing that heaven brings. Fell down like manna. And now I have you.
one of the sweetest, most innocent, pure love songs ever. I love that song, Jerry B.
That's a great tune. It really is. Stefano and Jazz Marie are the vocalists. And interesting story very quickly is when they came into the studio, you know, the only concept I gave them was Adam met Eve for the first time. And so Stefano had written the song from the woman's perspective and how she would have viewed Adam. And Jasmine, unbeknownst to her what Stefano was writing, she wrote from Adam's perspective as how she wanted a man to view her. And so they got
wow.
the video, they looked at the lyrics, and they traded. They said, hey, you sing what I've written, I'll sing what you've written, and we cut it. And that was
oh.
it. And it was just like,
my
yeah,
God.
It was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. And then Keith McKelly finished it off with that beautiful saxophone
dancing
in and out of it.
Beautiful.
So, I love it. I love the song. Thank you for playing it.
Oh, my gosh, my pleasure. And that's why Inspire is so delicious because, you know, you've got right there on the cover the original alternative, alternative, funk, jazz, fusion, sound doctrine. You got it all here, baby.
that's who we are. That's who we are, grateful for it. Experimenting all the time.
And actually, you know, my favorite, because some songs just resonate, and the first time I heard Sacred Place for Gary, I love it so much, and it's just in my mind. Sometimes I can't get the song out of my mind.
That's
boy, it is.
One day you just one of the shows just play the entire thing.
I'll listen to you. Well, listen, if I don't see you beforehand, I will see you. I got an invitation to go to Jamaica, but I think I'm going to come to Ohio for the Youngstown Jazz Fest.
Oh, we would love to have you. We'd love to have you, and we'll bring you up on stage and treat you like the queen you are.
Oh, God bless you. Well, you are a king. And you are my brother, and they're giving me the high sign for 60 seconds. Jerry B., thank you so much. We have to do this more regularly, promise?
I promise. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Oh, my pleasure. I love you, and I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Oh, I just love him. I love him. Thank you so much for listening today. All the folks in the chat room, Linda and Griselda and Matt and Albert and folks floating back and forth. We'll see you on Tuesday on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy. God bless. Have a great weekend. Be safe.